Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
How good does that be? I could dance, but not really. I like to think I can. Thank you. Come on, welcome to church. Thank you for being here. Seriously, so good, so good. Thank you, Ben, for encouraging us and giving. And the man's a giver, so it is awesome to be surrounded by people who just love the house of God and love being here and sewing into it. And Andrew's jumping on drums. That was his first time in the cage. And don't you love people that can do everything and play every instrument? Just love those people. I'm like a one-trick pony. That's all I got. That's all I got. But no, Andrew's in there, took on the drums. So good, man. So good to be in church. Glad you're here. You ready for a new series? Ready for a new series? The idea behind this series is this verse, Proverbs 16:33, if we could put that up. We may roll the dice, but God determines how they fall. I want to do a series on faith, and really the idea in this series is that oftentimes we look at the word do as a faith word. Salvation, we're asking this city to reconsider Jesus. That's what the word repentance means, to take another look. Have you considered Jesus? Have you considered what he said about himself? Have you considered the fact that he came? That history tells us he came. You don't get to say that he didn't come. I don't care what your philosophy professor told you at University of Portland. Roman writings and Greek writings and history tells us that there was a man named Jesus. You don't get to decide whether he came or not. He came. And what he said about himself is he's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. Because he said he was God, and he went to the cross, and hundreds of people saw him, eyewitness accounts, and they gave their life. Never in the history of the world have 12 men been tortured to death and to recant a cult. That he was the Messiah, he is who he says he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's not up for debate. You get to decide what you think about that. Okay. So what we're doing is we're doing a series on faith, and oftentimes we look at faith as all or nothing, but faith is oftentimes a baby step, and to get out of the boat starts with a baby step. I want you to think about this NLT translation on roll the dice. Maybe you just need to try. I love the word try. I think it's a real big faith word. Well, I don't raise my hands. Maybe you should try. I don't preach the gospel. Maybe you could try. I don't do that. Well, maybe you could try. I don't want to talk about that. Maybe you should try. It's just a big try word, okay? We want everything. I like things to be packaged. I like things to be perfect. And I like things to come through me. I expect God to speak to me the way I want to be spoken to get a prophetic word, and then I will go do it. God doesn't work that way. He loves to keep us in the dark and just give us a little piece of the puzzle and say, walk. You walk and we'll talk. It's walkie-talkie. Amen? Walkie-talkie. That's faith. And so try something. Well, I just got to get the business plan. Just got to, have you written on a napkin yet? Have you called the bank? Pastors that step into my life, they're like, so what does this building cost? I'm like, I've heard. Well, have you talked to the owner? Who does that? What's the bank said? I love wise, seasoned men and women of God, because they're like people of action. Young people, I consider myself young, middle age. We have everything figured out. We know what the bank would say. We know what the city council would say, right? The truth of it is men and women of faith have rolled the dice. Well, where's our next house you should buy? I'm waiting for the Lord. Maybe you should start rolling the dice. Maybe faith is a little bit more of a step out like a fool and be willing to let God get all the glory and just roll some dice. This week, preach the gospel. Well, that person wouldn't come to church. How do you know? Just try. Roll the dice. Roll an invitation their way. Send a text their way. Forward the message. Send an email. Invite them to church. You rolling the dice might be God using that act of simplicity and foolishness to bring that person to God. We may roll the dice. We're called to roll the dice. I love that because our acts of simple faith are actually small, but they're important. They're needed. They're just sort of, I like to be like, yeah, I made this awesome decision because I'm awesome and God, you know, God all to be the glory. But if I was to be honest, and church planners and pastors, they were to be honest, hey, why did you start the church at the Red Lion? It's like, honestly, that is more of faith. You'll find the word if with a lot of people of faith. You'll find assurance more in the kingdom of darkness. Because the kingdom of darkness is witchcraft, manipulation, control. I am God. When you're not God, you walk a little more humble before a God who knows all, who just asks us to play the fool. But he does ask us in faith. Do you know that preaching is called foolishness? What's great as a preacher is because I could take a lot of credit for my messages. He'd be like, hey, you're welcome. I preach the message of faith. You're welcome, right? But it's foolishness. Now, it's not because the word of God is needed, but it takes the weight off a little bit. God's just like, I just need an instrument. I need a donkey. I won't even say the King James word for donkey. I just need a donkey to anoint. I just need a donkey to carry my message. I just need my donkey to come to church. We are literally carriers of the presence of God. It's Palm Sunday, y'all. He just needs a donkey to ride into Jerusalem, okay? That's all he needs. He just needs some men and women that will lay down their life and literally just carry his glory and his anointing, okay? This is a series on just the significance of rolling the dice, but God determines how they fall. Now, all right, put up the, I don't know. What we got? We got some kind of slides on the word lot, casting lots. If you ever, you know, read that in the Bible, it does seem sort of like not biblical. Like sometimes we think it's sin. Like, ooh, they casted lots. Okay, moving to the next verse. The problem is Moses cast lots to find leaders, and so did the disciples to replace Judas. Now that's wild. Throwing the dice is an opportunity of faith. You're not in control of the determination, but the throw. It's more of trying, not doing. Now throw up the book of Acts. We got Acts in there. When Judas did his thing, they casted lots. Actually, you can put up that last one. And you think about the New Testament. Like, wouldn't these men of God, like, get a word for who to replace Judas? Because that's the only way we think about hearing from God, right? Who's your next youth pastor? Lord? Do you know, Eve, it's more biblical to... That's actually Bible. All right, next youth pastor. That's what we did. Okay, a couple years ago, like Sean, a couple other people. Hey, why don't you guys come out, hang out with young people, take kids out to coffee. The ones that weren't called, that had all the prophetic words, that were like seeking the Lord and, you know, doing some things. And like, Paul's like, test them. Just see. And Sean and Emily just gathered around young people, and we couldn't get rid of them. I was like, why don't you be the youth pastor? He said, why don't you be the youth pastor? Roll the dice. Because what it does is it takes out personal preference. I know this seems unbiblical, but this is a piece. Hearing the word of God and prophecy is also, hear me. It's just weird to me, honestly, it's slightly offensive to me that Peter didn't get a word for God from Matthias. That he had to put names in a hat. But that's what their like view of God. He's so big. We're just going to put names in a hat. Because, see, thinking about, like, I called you means that I called you and I rejected you. And the disciples and the apostles were like, no, 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 no. We're going to put it in God's hands. And it's going to look like names in a hat. And this is around Pentecost. This is around Peter and John saying, silver and gold have we not. But what I have, I give to you. Rise and walk. Names in a hat. I think we need to roll the dice. I think we're too safe. I think we're too safe. I think we're sort of waiting for all these things to happen. And I'm a little worried about my zipper. My zipper has come down twice in the last couple months. I haven't been shopping a while. I got these old jeans that have like kind of a loose zipper and in the purest sense. But so I just, if you see me checking, it's just a check, okay? I try to put on some jeans with buttons, but I don't have many of those jeans. And anyways, let's go to the Word of God. You ready to roll the dice? Come on, you ready to roll the dice? I'm serious. God's going to challenge your faith this week. And you're going to say, I don't do that, but maybe you do. I don't talk that way, but maybe you do. I don't pray that way, but maybe you do. I don't worship that way, but maybe you do. I don't give that way, but maybe you do. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. Yeah. Yeah. I remember my dad. I said, hey, Dad, you like Thai food? He's like, I don't like Thai food. I'm like, have you ever had Thai food? He's like, no. That's how we live. I don't like that. I like cheeseburgers. Like, maybe you like Asian fusion. You just didn't know it. How many things do you like or God's called you to do and to be that you don't even know, but it might be time to get a little risky in your faith and step out of your boat? Because I know you've never walked on water, but it might be a new season to begin to experience water walking type miracles. We need a big, like, dice thing or something up here. That might offend some people. All right. That might be good. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Let's get to the word and roll the dice. I want to speak this morning on roll the dice with your identity. Roll the dice with identity. I really believe that today could be, it could be your day to be healed. You could... pray a prayer. I could say something. The Holy Spirit could. Someone in this church could pray. Something could happen in this service. I don't know. Roll them. Pray a prayer you never prayed. Come to the altar like you never. Write something. Maybe something of faith could trigger something, and you could leave this place in a new light of knowing who you are, and confidence and identity. I think that's the greatest gift. The greatest battle you are in right now is with who you are. That's what broke in the garden, is the separation between us and our Father in heaven, is we lost a sense of security and who we are. It's an overused word, but the insecurity, the loss of security happened in the garden. And I will stop talking like this. It's not my most comfortable preaching voice. Okay, here we go. Judges chapter 6, verse 11, are you there? Does anybody even bring Bibles? Any Bibles, actual Bibles? We got Bibles. We got Bibles. Come on. Yes. We got Bibles. All Bibles are cool. All Bibles are good. I know we got screens and stuff. But get a Bible, get a notebook, read it, write down some notes, and here we go. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I love it. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened? Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Whew. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for church. We thank you that we're here in the room. We thank you that we're here in this moment. God, we thank you for journey. We thank you for the process of time. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's a mystery, but we also thank you for moments. We thank you for moments. We thank you for what in one moment, in one touch. We thank you for the immediately or the suddenly. We thank you for all of the when eternity just steps into time, something automatically happens. Lord, we thank you. All we need is one word today. All we need is one glimpse of your glory. And God, we are forever changed. We pray for that today in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I was 18. I think I was about 18. I just turned 18 in 1995. Anybody born in 95? Yeah, nobody. All right. All right. That's right. This is for the adults. We sent the young people out. Anybody over here 95? Nobody 95? All right. All right. Cool. Before 92? 92 before 95? Anyways, 95 in South Africa, apartheid had just ended. And it was a big moment for South Africa. I didn't even know that. I didn't even know what time in history I was stepping into. I literally am 18. I go to South Africa because we're doing a mission trip. And we get off, and they're celebrating the World Cup win. The Springboks had won the World Cup. Maybe you've seen the movie with Matt Damon in it, Invictus or something like that. But that's about that team that won. Well, we didn't know what was going on. We just stepped into South Africa. And all this racial tension was getting worked out. And we were on our way to Johannesburg. Joburg, for some of us that have been there. Joburg, some of you know that. Okay, cool. So we're going there to preach at a youth conference. And I'm excited. I'm ready to bring my one message. I had one message back then. It's a bit more of an evangelist at the time. And it was the Joshua generation. I was ready to preach the Joshua generation to young people that Joshua was anointed to take the promised land. Amen. And God was calling Joshua and Caleb in this generation to take the promised land. And so I was pumped. I was ready. I had it memorized, so I wasn't that worried about the translator. I feel like everyone keeps looking at my zipper. Okay, here we go. We're good. We're good. Yes, you guys look scared. You guys look scared. Okay. So I'm in South Africa. I'm preaching. I feel like things are going pretty good. Okay? And people are nodding. I'm preaching about Joshua. Let's take it. And now comes the altar call. Now, I had like this little altar call technique that I would do, and it worked really well in the States, right? I just get like, just get some faith in the room and talk about, oh, come on. If you're a Joshua, get ready. I'm gonna ask you to stand up and commit your life to Jesus. He's gonna set you on fire to serve God. Come on, if that's gonna be, you know, not yet, but if you wanna make that commitment, right? Come on. You're going to serve this generation? If not you, who? If not now, when? Trying to build the faith. You got to build the faith sometimes. It's a moment of decision. Decisions matter. It's not manipulation. It can be, but it's not. It's faith. Faith matters. Faith matters. God doesn't always respond to need, but he responds to faith. That's a whole nother message. All right, we'll come back to that sometime. I'll just drop that in there. But so you got to build the faith. Building the faith, oh, where he guides, he provides. His will, his bill. I had a lot of cliches back then. Amen. So I'm trying to get the tension. So what I would do is, you try to like, come on. If that's going to be you, hey, preach the gospel. It's like, you. But then I would say, but if you don't mean it, don't stand. This is if you know that you're called to preach. To the highways and the byways, to the rich, to the poor, to the cool or the uncool. But if that's you, I want you to stand. Not now, but in a moment. So I go back and forth. So by the time I got to, and again, in Texas, man, this works. Now when I get ready to, and I do like a little count, you're like, on the count of one. The drummer's like, on the count of two. I didn't quite do that, but anyway. Three, right? It's like, I'll die for you, Lord, right? So I was like, on the count of three, South Africa, stand if you're a Joshua. You know, crickets, right? Everybody lost everybody. I'd gone back and forth to, but don't stand if you don't mean it, to like scare them, you know. I just scared them. So they're just like, you know. I'm like, where's my Joshuas? You know, is there not one? You know, I couldn't. I'd lost them. Well, at that moment, I literally could not. I had gone back and forth. Something had got lost in translation legitimately. And I talked to the pastors after that. I definitely had said something that basically was like, don't stand. It was like, don't dare stand. Because I literally couldn't get them up. I was like, all right, let's all stand. Nothing. Okay, we're done. We're going to sing a song. Let's all stand. I mean, they are so scared. They're just like, you're right. Mom. So I couldn't even get him to stand up. So I was like, all right, good night, Johannesburg. Love you. So I go back to my room and I feel stupid. Really, really stupid. And when you feel stupid, it's this feeling of like stupid, right? Like you feel dumb. It's amazing how you can go from here to here in a split second. I know you probably can't relate, but it is amazing to me that there's not a descent. because I was feeling great. I thought it would take me 3 years to feel as low as I did, but I didn't. I felt instantly dumb. I felt like I wanted to give up the call. I wanted to fly home. I wanted to give up. I just wanted to quit instantly. So I'm in my room, and I'm praying, you know, God, what's going on? And I just kind of felt defeated, and I'm sure it wasn't as bad as it was, but man, I really, something happened there at the end. I feel like I'm kind of disappointed, and I was really, you know how you kind of pray, fantasize? You know how you're like, Lord, give me $1 million, and then you fantasize about this person bringing you this check, and they're just like, God put you on my heart, and he told me to keep adding zeros. Here you go. And you're like, oh my gosh, thank you. Maybe it's just me. I pray fantasize all the time. Here's our house in Hawaii. Thank you. I don't need it, but thank you. Anyway, that's my prayer life. But I was imagining all these like leaders coming over from the church going, Isaac, you're amazing. You're like the best preacher ever. Thank you. Thank you. It was the best message. You know, there's this one Afrikaans word, and don't worry about it. It just was a little weird. It's going to be great. Don't worry. And I was kind of imagining these. Sometimes they do happen. Sometimes God will throw you a prophetic word when you really need it. For me, not. Like when I needed it, I didn't get it. When I don't need it, he gives me like 50. I'm like, God, I'm actually doing great right now. I'm like, I don't need this. I don't know. But I was kind of prayer fantasizing because, again, I was single. I was 18. Maybe it's like some young Johannesburg women of God would just come and like sit at my feet and just be like, you're awesome. You're amazing. Sorry, we didn't stand. We were just looking at the anointing on your life, and you're awesome. Oh, stop it. Thank you. Thank you. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. More. Stop it. Right? But I was just kind of going through what I needed. I was kind of like, man, it would be nice to have this thing. Because when we need something, we go through something, something gets lost in translation. We want the pain to go away. We want the confusion to be cleared up. We want clarity. And what God started to speak to me was, listen, that could happen and that will happen. But this isn't about every sermon you preach or don't preach. This is beyond a meeting. This is beyond a moment. And God began to show me, I'm going to strip back some things. When I strip back some and I expose some insecurities, see, what God exposes, this is a little cliche, but this is true. What he does reveal, he intends to heal. I believe that. So when you start to get exposed and you go, what is that? I want God help. God will say, I am stripping back to give you what you really need. And what you really need is a fresh encounter of who you are. I want to show you who you are. I want you to be able to walk in the ups, in the downs, and not be able to be shaken as much as you are. God was setting me up that summer to rock me to the core and show me who I was, to give me a glimpse of who God created to be beyond the preacher. Beyond what I was called to do, he wanted to show me who I was. He wanted to show me who I was. This story is about an encounter at Gideon's lowest point in his life. And yes, God gives him some things, but you know what God really gives him is he gives him a fresh encounter with who he is. He calls him immediately into what God sees him as. Some things are journey, some things are progress, but I'm telling you, the word of God, when it comes to you, it literally can strip away everything in a moment of fear and insecurity, and call you into who he called you to be, which is a mighty man, mighty woman of valor. And I'm telling you, that moment might be today, where in the valley of the shadow of death, God might strip back some things and give you a glimpse of the daughter or the man that he created you to be. You are a child of God. You're anointed. You're gifted. You are perfectly formed in your mother's womb. The blood of Jesus was shed for you. He put you together. You got glory on you. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The Holy Ghost is in you. There's some things that God will strip back and let you catch a glimpse of that'll change you forever. Somebody, that's for somebody. I don't know who it is, but someone's rolling some dice. Someone's saying enough. Someone's saying, I'm tired of the peer pressure. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of second guessing everything I say. I'm tired of second guessing every text message. I'm tired of every dinner. I'm tired of social anxiety. I'm tired of living in a world where I'm so in
insecure, so full of fear that I can't even be me or preach the gospel. Oh, I hear some dice rolling in this room to say thus far and no longer. I want to be set free and walk in who God made me to be. I hear some dice. I don't know who you are, but somebody says maybe today is my day. Maybe today is my day. And oftentimes it's at the lowest point. Gideon was at the lowest. 7 years. 7 years. We've been through 1 year of this craziness. Can you imagine when the history writes this story? In 2019, the wealthiest generation ever, with the cars and the houses and the loans. You know, we can leverage finance like no other generation. Gifts. And this is real, though. This year was hell. But history will write it as 1 year, or a year and a half, or 2 years. They will read it as not a big deal. It's been a big deal. It's a big deal when it's your pain. It's a big deal when your kids aren't in school, right? It's a big deal when your friend's kids are depressed. Yeah, we've had two friends. A friend of ours, two friends killed themselves in Portland High School. Yeah, it's real. It's real. 7 years. This is real. We read this sometimes as, 7 years, okay. No, it's 7 years of the Midianites who they didn't completely kick out of the promised land. The children of Israel are in the promised land. They've turned from God, the God of miracles, the God that took them out of Egypt, brought them into the promised land, defeated the enemies, but they left a few. And the Midianites now are coming in, and they kind of swoop in and swoop out. And when they come in, they take everything. They take all the food. They take all the animals. They just pillage them completely, leaving the Israelites hiding out in caves. And this is where we find Gideon at his lowest point. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord comes to the terebinth tree. The tree. The Bible loves trees. I love trees. I still know why I liked trees. I hate cutting down my trees. I got some land. I got trees. Every once in a while, I have to cut the tree down. I hate it. I'm like, I love that tree. It's my tree. I'm a bit of a tree hugger. I didn't even realize it until I realized that God loves trees. The Bible starts out with a tree. The tree, the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible literally starts out with a tree. It's the one thing we couldn't eat from. Don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of that tree. But we did eat of that tree because the lie from the enemy that came and said, God is not just, is still the voice of humanism and philosophy in our generation. God is not just. If God was perfect, he would do this. So the voice of the enemy rises above the voice of God, the perfect voice of truth. We partnered with that at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we asked why, and we at that moment ate of the fruit, and we took on shame and we took on guilt at that tree. Thank God there's another tree, the tree of Calvary, that Jesus was nailed to. And it was on that tree that sin and death was defeated, and shame and guilt was defeated, and sickness was defeated, and insecurity was defeated. When Jesus went on that second tree, think about that tree. That tree was a real tree. It was planted. It grew. They cut it up. Jesus carried it and then was nailed to that tree. And it was through the cross of Calvary that our sin and our guilt and our shame is washed. Anybody saved in this place? It's because of that tree. It's because of the tree that Jesus was nailed to that set us free. Trees are on all the Bible. Trees are throughout the Bible. The Bible says we're a tree. The Bible says be planted. The Bible says that he is a tree. He's a vine. He said, I want to graft you in. The Bible says the word is a tree. The Bible says, starts with a tree and even ends in a tree. In Revelations, so we have Revelations 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree, yielding fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Trees point us to Christ. We ought not to worship trees. We ought not to worship creation, because creation worships the Creator. The Bible says, and we've talked about this, that creation cries out. We are out without excuse. Everything we see points us to Jesus. That's why it's not just the sunset that makes you feel good, or the gorge, or the ocean. All of that is literally bowing down to Jesus. So trees point us to Christ. Trees point us to God. That's why we ought to point people to creation and say, man, well, you're without excuse. Where did that come from? Who made that? I don't think that could just all happen on its own. Design and God and the fingerprint is everywhere. And so when we see a tree, we see Christ. That's why we have the cross. A symbol of Roman crucifixion that Jesus transformed into a symbol of life. That's the power of Jesus. So we see a tree. We see a tree. Then we see the terebinth tree. The terebinth tree. Not a terebinth, not a tree, the tree. The tree. You know the tree. The tree. Yeah, you know. Yeah. The tree. That's what we're talking about. Oh, you mean the tree. Yes, the tree. The terebinth tree, the well-known tree, the oak that everyone knows. This is where the angel came to the tree, the terebinth tree, a well-known place. Don't you love that God meets us in well-known places? The terebinth tree, the place where Christ is, the terebinth tree, the well-known place, like church, like reading the Bible, like going to small groups. Somebody help me preach. You know what I'm saying? The well-known place. Don't you love that it's not a secret hike on a 43-day juice fast in the middle of Tibet? You know, 50,000-mile hike. He meets him at the terebinth tree. That's where God meets us. He meets us in church. He meets us in an average worship service. He meets us in a place that is easy to find. How much grace of God is that, that he meets us in well-known places where Jesus is? That's what'll change our lives. That's what gives people hope, is demystifying Christianity. It's easy to find. You know how much hope you find when you tell someone to go to church or you invite them to church, a well-known place? The problem is how it makes us feel, because we're rolling the dice and someone goes to church. See, we want to sound super spiritual. If you could just get to the Sea of Galilee, oh, by the Dead Sea, oh, on Good Friday, and then get to Golgotha. I've been there. Oh, if you could just get there. Oh, on Easter Sunday. Good luck. I love it. This is a terebinth tree. This is just come to church. Hey, come to Easter service. You know it's only Christians that make fun of Easter service? Oh, it's like the one time a year when America goes to church. Yeah. We gotta be rolling dice like all week. Like, this is the time when people are willing to come to church. But we're like, oh, it's Easter. What about the week after? Relax. We'll get to the week after. But it's Easter Sunday, and we live in America. Yeah, they'll come to church. You roll the dice. God determines how they fall. We don't need to look at the baptism thing and go, didn't that person already get baptized? What? They don't need to worry about it. All you need to worry about is preaching the gospel, inviting people to church, worshiping, and stepping out in faith and letting God determine what happens. We need to get back into risky faith with just letting God, you determine it. I'm going to invite that person. I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to lay hands on that person. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm just going to keep rolling. I'm just going to keep stepping out in faith and allowing you to take over. God's asking us to not be in control. He's just asking for a church to rise up a little bit and just step out a little bit and just pray a little bit and just prophesy a little bit and just invite a little bit and just open up your Bible a little bit. Just get to church and God will meet you there. It's the terebinth tree. It's at the tree. You know how many moments have changed my life just sitting in that chair in church? You mean church? Church? Yeah. I love telling people. They give me like this 50-hour conversation. I'm not here to mock it. Just hear me. Just hear me. About their life. And I don't say this judgmental. I'm just like, hey, have you read your Bible? Yeah. The terebinth tree. Because what happens is we give it all on God. What we do is we try to philosophize and humanize the reason that they haven't experienced God. And we ought to just be like, God will speak. God needs to become bigger, and we need to become smaller. Isaac, what are you doing? I roll dice. I roll dice. I write silly little messages, hopefully containing some bit of the Word of God, giving you a chance to be encouraged by the Word. But I simply am not the word. I'm pointing to the word. We do our best to roll the dice, but what we are doing is we are putting our trust in God and our faith in God. Maybe let go of control this Easter, and maybe invite some people you would never invite. Maybe do some things that you would never do. Maybe God could do something through the simple act of faith that would blow you away. Have you read about the disciples? They weren't that awesome. What happened was they finally died to themselves and realized that God is real, God is big, and God is awesome. That's what they did. The terebinth tree, the place, the common place, the well-known place. God was there, easy to find, easy to find, easy. And then the angels sat. I love this posture. Most times you don't see angels sit. You see them flying. You see them standing before Joshua. But you see an angel sit. The tree, Christ, the terebinth tree, easy to find. And the angel is just... just chilling, sitting. The posture of peace, the posture of strength, the posture of sovereignty, the posture of I'm in control. This didn't sneak up on me. And what do we have Gideon doing? Threshing wheat. Just a little bit of wheat because he's in a wine press. You thresh out wheat on a large piece of property with oxen, and there's this big thing in the middle, and they tie these oxen, they trample it down, and you gotta have this big ordeal. He's just in a little wine press with a stick. That just means he's surviving. It's not a plan. This isn't a how to make it through. This is just today. Gotta get a little bit of wheat to feed the family. He's hiding out, and his wine press is in the ground, and he's like, he's just nervous. I don't have enough money. What is that person gonna say? I'm full of fear. He's just threshing out a little bit of wheat, and the angel's just sitting. He's sitting in the middle of this insecurity, in the middle of this fear, in the middle of what's going on, in the middle of whatever you're going on, is God just sitting. And whenever you see God sit or an angel sit, it points to where's Jesus? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. That means he's not nervous. What you're going through did not sneak up on him. God's got it. It doesn't seem like it because of what you're going through, but this is the picture at the tree, the terebinth tree, where Gideon is freaking out, just trying to survive, trying to get through, a little bit nervous, been through a lot, it's understandable, a lot of fear, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of abuse, and he's just surviving, trying to just get a little meal, and the angel's just sitting. As we go crazy, God is at peace. As we lose our minds, God is in control. As we're trying to figure everything out, God is steady. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, this is for somebody. The God that you've served your entire life is about to get an upgrade in your mind. Your view of God is about to expand, is about to go big. And like David, he said, I'm going to magnify my God. I'm going to put a magnifying glass on God. God is about to become bigger than you could ever imagine. You sit. Gideon is threshing. And then the angel of the Lord comes over and says, Gideon, comes over to Gideon and says, Gideon, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. What's going to happen? Who am I? I'm so stupid. What am I going to do? The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. That's the picture of what God does in the middle of our insecurities, in the middle of us freaking out. God comes with a word and he speaks, not a word of progression or journey. He speaks a word of you are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty woman of valor. Right now, I want to show you, says God, who you are and who I created you to be. And God speaks his word over Gideon. The only thing that will bring about him being able to be a mighty man of valor is the word of God. So when God strips back and it shows us his word is revealed because it's the only thing that can really pull you out of a wine press. See, we like to go to our past. We are continually going backwards. And God, when he shows up, it's not that he's not compassionate. It's not that he doesn't want to have a conversation. It's not that he doesn't want to love us, because he does. But when he comes to Gideon at the lowest point, he's the weakest in his tribe. He's the least expected to turn out to be anybody. And when the word of God comes to him, the word of God comes to pull him out of the wine press and into his destiny and into what God has. When the word of God shows up, it pulls you out of what you're going through. The word of God literally begins to pull you out of insecurity and pull you out of fear. I feel somebody rolling their faith today to say, God, maybe that's me. Pull me out of the wine press. Pull me out of fear. Pull me out of depression. Pull me out of insecurity. God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. What are the two great questions of humanity? God, where are you? What are you doing? And who am I? Who am I? God, why am I going through this? Why do I feel dumb? Why do I feel lost? Why do I feel insignificant? Why can't I figure out who I am? And God comes to speak at the heart of those two questions. I'm with you. 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 Even right now, some of you, the power, I believe, of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, the comforter, the counselor, is going to hover over your life and begin to comfort and to begin to clothe and to begin to fill you today. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Some of you, that's for you. Some of you, that's for you. This morning, he's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. The presence of God is going to become so real. He's with you. And you are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty man of valor. God says, I want to show you who you are right here, right now. You're a mighty woman of valor. Valor means strength, courage, and passion. God says, I want to show you the strength that I've given you. I've already given it to you. I've already given it to you. I've given you strength. I've given it to you. I'm with you. I've given you courage. You have it. You have it. I've given you passion. You have it. You have it, says the Lord. You have it. Use it. Use it. And every time Gideon wants to go back, but God, well, where are you? The angel says, go, go in this strength, because every time the word comes, it comes not just to encourage you, but it contains the very power to pull you out of that situation you're in. There's Gideon. He's not a mighty man of valor. He is a weenie. But when the word of God comes, it comes to pull you out of that dysfunction, to pull you out of that weakness, to pull. What are you afraid of right now? Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. What is the thing that you're staring at? What is the wine press that you're surviving in? What is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? That's the thing. When the angel of the Lord comes to show up, he says, you, I'm with you, and you are mighty. You are mighty. You are mighty. Not you're gonna be mighty. You are mighty. You are mighty. You are strong. You are strong. You have courage. I've given it to you. And you have passion. I've given it to you. I love this. Every time Gideon's like, but God, the angel says, go, I'm with you. Every word the angel says is a word of, let's go, I'm with you, I'm with you, I've sent you. Roll the dice with your faith. You are anointed. You serve a God outside of time. You serve a sovereign God who wants to provide for you, who loves you, has gone before you. Pulls him out. The problem is, we're inundated with our past. And that's why real good counseling, real good preaching, we'll go back and we can decipher what didn't happen according to the word of God. But real good word will also show you who you are in the word. Why did my mom hold me? Why did my dad? What happened? Real good counsel will go back and decipher between humanity and divinity. We'll decipher between human will and God's divine perfect will. And what failed, what didn't happen according to the word. Because Israel didn't obey the word of God. But when the angel showed up, he didn't want to talk necessarily about figuring out everything you need to know about your enemy. God doesn't need you to know everything about your enemy or everything about your insecurity or everything. This is for somebody. I feel this. Or you, everything about your fear or everything about your dysfunction, divorce, or bankruptcy. But God does want you to know everything about who you are and who he called you to be. He said, let it go. I'm not asking you to understand everything about the enemy. I do want you to know everything about you and what I called you and what I anointed you for. God says, I do want you to know everything about you. I don't need you to be an expert in America or COVID. I do need you to be an expert about you and what I called you to do. But you know what we do? Because of the enemy, we hide. Because something has taken something from you, right? Something has hurt you. Something has stolen. And when you hurt and you experience pain and trauma and abuse and dysfunction, you hide. Why? Because we're smart. If you're hiding today, it's not because you're dumb. Shoot me one more time. No, it's because you're smart. You're hiding. Because Midian has stolen from you. So when you're hiding from your insecurity, your fear, when you're hiding from it, it's because you're surviving. And when you're surviving, you're hiding because you're not a dummy and you don't want to be stolen from that thing again. Because every time you look at depression, it wins. Every time you deal with that thing in your marriage, it wins. Every time you go up against that thing, that dysfunction in your family, it wins. Every time you go to give your testimony, it wins. Every time you invite people to church, it wins. So you're hiding from something that only has ever taken from you. And when you're hiding, you're surviving. When you're surviving, you're hiding. When you're hiding, you're surviving. And you want to figure out what's going on. But the word of the Lord shows up to pull you out of the winepress, to pull you out and say, I've not called you to abide with the enemy. I've called you to defeat. I've called you to destroy. I've called you mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you. I've called you to defeat that insecurity, to defeat that fear, to defeat that depression, to kill it, to take it, to destroy it, to destroy it. I've called you. I've called you to destroy it. You're hiding because you're surviving. And we want to have a conversation with God about how we got in the wine press. And God shows up with his word, pulling us out. Say, I know, but I also want you to know, don't spend so much time about Midian. The key is to know who you are. So God showed up and gave Gideon the thing he needed, even though it wasn't who he was. He's freaked out of his mind. He's nervous. He's nervous Norton. And the angel at the tree, at the well-known place, peace, speaks to him, I'm with you. And you are. You are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty man, woman of valor. I've called you. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I've called you to defeat that depression. Not called you to abide it or even understand the fullness of it. You don't need to understand the fullness of your enemy to destroy it. The key to destroying the enemy is knowing who you are and knowing who's with you. I know is that God is telling me and you to defeat the enemy. That you're called to defeat that insecurity. You're called to defeat that fear. That you're called to not abide with that thing, but to kill it. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Stand with me this morning. I want to pray. I want to pray. I just want every eye closed in this place, or open, whatever. But I just want you to receive. I want you to receive. I want you to roll the dice with your faith this morning. And just let God fill you up. He wants you to know He's with you. Before He begins to show you who you are, He wants to show you who He is. Because God is about to show up to show you who you are. God is about to show up to show you who you are. But He is going to show up. Every person in this room, if you open up your heart, I'm telling you by faith, God wants to fill you. The Holy Spirit is going to invade this place. Hold on, hold on, hold on. One second. I want your faith. I want your faith to get ready. I want to put a demand on your faith for a second. To say, God's going to touch me. This isn't a question. Because the battle you're up against is big. No one said it wasn't big. But you are called to defeat it. You are called to buy and sell that house. You are called to start that business. You are called to preach the gospel. You are called to kill that thing in your family. You are called to bring your legacy and your family into a place. And you are called to do that. It is a big deal. I repeat, defeating Midian is a big deal, but you are called to destroy the thing that has been destroying you or your family your entire life. You're called to destroy it. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. I want you to get ready to receive by faith just the presence of God. 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 He's about to fill you. Just roll the dice. Say, God, here I am. Here I am. I just sense the Holy Spirit's here. Just comforting. Just healing. Just filling. Right now, even if you're just watching, I'm telling you right now, you might be listening to this on Tuesday night. You might be listening to this on Thursday. I'm telling you, the presence of God is about to invade your spirit, your mind, your soul, your body. Here we go. 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 Let Him fill you. Let Him fill you. Let Him fill you. Oh, He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. Believe showing you who you are. He's showing you who you are. He's showing you who you are. He's showing you who you are. You're about to walk in freedom like you never had. You're about to know who you are, your personality, your character, your laugh, your walk. Somebody is finding identity in this place. Let it go. Let go of the past. Let go of the past. Let go of the trauma. Let go of the words. Let go of the events. Let go of the relationships. You're letting go, and the Word of God is pulling you forward. Some of you need to come out of your seats and come up here right now. Break that fear. Break that fear right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. your soul, if you need healing of your body, I believe there's power in this place right now. Come on. Come on. If you're depressed, come up here. If you need fear broken, in Jesus' name, come up here. If you can't sleep at night, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus, I'm telling you, just receive it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. Right now, in Jesus' name, loose and let them go. The Word of God. Right now, you're a woman of valor. You're a woman of valor. Let me do it, says the Lord. Let me do it. Let me blow you away with what I can do. With a surrendered life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you can't read the Bible, but you want to read the Bible, get up here. God's about to give you a passion for His Word that's going to break that habit in Jesus' name. If you can't worship, come up. If you struggle with worship, come up. In Jesus' name. I see some people, there's some, and just keep receiving. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's here. Just one more minute, just one more minute. Just take it, just take it, just take it in Jesus' name. Whew. There's some people that have some images in your head you can't get out. Come up, come up in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Roll the dice, roll the dice. Maybe today is your day. If you don't believe in Jesus, today is your day to say, God, I surrender my life. I surrender my life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit erase, let go, loose, 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 loose. Who the Son sets free is free indeed now. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus, right now. Just fill her. Fill her up right now. Fill her up right now. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. It's you. Receive it right now. Just receive it. Just receive it right now. Just receive it right now. Jesus. Jesus. We need to remember how to receive. We need to remember how to receive. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. It's this weird, like, inactive, active. Just receive. He's healing right now. I'm telling you, He's healing. Some of you, rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit has literally come out of your belly. Joy. I see some of you, joy is just coming. It's just coming. It's just coming. It's just coming. Rivers of living water. Laughter, joy is coming to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, strength. Strength in your body. Roll it. Some of you, God is giving you literally strength in your body. You have a big week. Some of you have a big week. God's giving you strength right now. Right now. Right now. Right now in your elbows, in your knees. Some of you need ideas. God's giving you ideas. Some of you need fresh passion. He's giving you passion. Take it. Oh, just say, here I am, Lord. Go, but some of you want to hear the voice of God. Whew. I feel that so strongly in this place. You just want to hear the voice of God. I would just say, listen, open up your heart. Sometimes it's the peace, He is peace. Sometimes peace leads you, sometimes a nudge, a verse. But God's going to begin to speak to you. Listen, listen, right, Stuart, He's leading you. He's leading you. The Lord is going to lead you. The Lord is going to guide you. The Lord is going to open up doors. You don't need to work so hard. You do need to steward it in faith and step out and believe. But God is going to begin to show you and lead you and speak to you. You're going to begin to recognize the still small voice of God. Thank you, Jesus. Just roll the dice. It's the tree, Christ. The terebinth tree. It's a well-known place. Some of you have heard more messages on prayer. You don't need another message on prayer. You need to set the alarm tomorrow morning and roll the dice. I can't wait to bring some midweek classes to this church. More teaching, more training. But some of us don't need another class on evangelism. We just need to. I got a seat for you this Easter. Got a seat for you. Some of you, God's gonna give you what, like, not anything that you think you need. I remember a time I invited someone to church. They got saved, and it was the thing that snapped me out of a funk. You never know the thing that God will bring into your life that will ignite you. And that's what we all want. If you have $20 million in the bank or not, we all want the same thing. We all want to be lit up in our spirit, our soul, our mind. We want passion. We want purpose. We want God. We want to live. I'm telling you, it's a miracle that happens through His Word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just want you to just get ready. Take off the pressure. God said, I got it. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I just need you to play the fool a little bit and just get out of the boat a little bit, and I'm gonna do some miracles in your life. Can we give Him some praise this morning? Jesus. Jesus. I'll admit it, I hate rolling the dice. I like to be liked. I like safe. I only like to pray with people who like prayer. But I'm learning. If I feel that, I'm just going to pray right now. Because when I know who I am, I'm not doing it to impress you any longer. I'm doing it because I'm just. And so if you like me, you don't like me. I know who I am. I'm a roller of the dice, and He's God. But I'm willing. When people ask me, what are you doing? I don't know. But I do know who He is. And I do know you were created to know Him. I do know who He is. I don't know everything that happens. He does, but I do know who He is. I do know who He is. Hey, this week, let's invite more people than we ever have. But do it. We have a baptism, my goodness. Becky Chapman, let's baptize you. I know she doesn't. She's so cool. We just love her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just fill her up. Show her who she is. Show her who she is. Show her who she is. Set her free. Show her who she is. She's a woman of valor. 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 She's a woman of valor.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones. Say, great are You.
Jesus. Keep rolling those dice. I love you. We'll see you next week. It's Easter Sunday. If you need some prayer, come on up here. Happy Palm Sunday. Resurrection week. Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming.